Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
The best bits.
With Carrie and Tommy, it's time to take a look back at
the archives of your guys' lives.
Oh, I love it. Good job, Jez. Good.
So do I now not have to say when was that?
No, you still got to say when was that.
Okay.
Or you can say, when did you take a dive into the archives of your life?
Is that from the archives of your
guys' lives?
So, you know, I've been decluttering at the moment
in
my house.
Yes.
I've been going through room by room by room with my mother-in-law who hates stuff, right? And so she's the best person to do it with.
You're a bit Marie Kondoing. Is that right?
Marie Kondoing.
I never know what
she
does.
Good.
I don't know what she does.
Yes. I think you're meant to keep things that mean something to you and throw
spark
out the rest.
Spark joy.
What's
come on.
Spark.
You're meant to keep things that spark joy.
Oh, I thought that was another person's name. I'm Marie Kondo and this is my friend Spark Joy. Now, Spark, what are we doing today?
She's so brutal, my mother-in-law. Like I had, when she was going through the utensil cupboard, and I had 5 soup ladles, and she said, oh, how often? She held them up. She said, how often do you make soup? And I said, oh, I'll keep a few of them, probably once a month. She goes, never seen you make it. You need one, and threw the rest of them in the bin.
Brutal bit of Spark Joy gear there.
Anyway, she then headed into the pantry.
Why keep one if you never make it?
Sorry.
Let's keep going.
Also, the nanny makes some occasionally.
Let's keep going. Get her to bring her own ladle. Mate, it's BYO. I can't provide everything here.
I provide the kids. You provide the rest.
You provide the parenting.
Anyway, she headed into the pantry, and at the top of the pantry is where we keep all of our alcohol.
Yes.
And she found this, what would you describe this? This
box, a polystyrene box.
And she said, what's in here? And I said, I don't know. And she opened it, and she goes, oh, my God. And I said, what? And she said...
I'm trying to work out when I say when was that.
Yeah, she said when was that.
Don't overthink it.
It's real tough, mate. But you get angry when I get it wrong.
I'm not going to get angry anymore. There's no rules to this.
You do the usual thing. You wait till the microphones are off and then you'll slap me across the chops and you'll say, not again, boy.
And she said to me, oh, my God, when did you get that? Have a look what that is.
Oh, wow. This is a dusty old bottle of Penfolds Grange. What?
What?
It's bottled in 1964.
I know. 1964 Grange. Now, I'm sounding like that's impressive, but
mate,
to be honest, I had no idea that even was impressive.
I've had one run-in with Grange before.
In your whole life, and you know alcohol.
And it was my mate's birthday, and we were drinking red, and I don't particularly like red, and so I ordered a espresso martinis and started drinking them instead. We then got so drunk, we got removed from the restaurant, and I was told then, what a waste of a bottle, and our other mate had bought a bottle of Grange from my friend's birth year.
Oh.
But that was 85, and that bottle was worth something like $3,000.
So here's the thing. I got given that bottle as a gift 10 years ago.
Oh, sorry, mate. It's 1963. Sorry, yes.
1963. 10 years ago, I got given that gift. So
when was that?
When I was working on the project, the first year that it started, we had Dr. Andrew Rochford working on the show, the good doc, and he said to us one day to Charlie and I, do you mind helping one of my friends with an on-air proposal? And so Hamish and Andy were involved and we recorded after the show.
They were also involved in my Grange experience.
Were they?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
And anyway, so after the show we stayed back and we recorded us pretending to do an on-air proposal to this guy, Phil's partner, right? And then what he did was him and his girlfriend were lying in bed and then she went to the toilet, came back and he'd slotted into the VCR our bit. So it looked like he
was proposing live on air. Yeah,
is how it sounded.
And in some other news, new data from presumably single researchers has found that Australian men are going to more and more elaborate lengths to snare the woman of their dreams. In a bid to woo their potential brides-to-be, modern Casanovas are turning to everything from announcements at sporting events, makeshift road signs, and even celebrity endorsements. Now, Hamish and Andy, you guys have been looking into this bit.
We certainly have, Carrie. Thanks for bringing us on the show to be experts in this field.
It would be evident, Ham, that for Phil, that Lucy's well out of his league.
True. He's begged us. He's told us how much you mean to him. He's promised to turn over a new leaf. Lucy, Will you marry Phil?
Cue streamers and everything. No, we didn't have any streamers at the time.
Sure. It'd also be weird if you were then in the room. And they're in the cupboard.
I'm going to play you next the reaction that Phil got from his girlfriend when he proposed and explain to you then how I ended up with that bottle.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy. Do you
remember? With Carrie and Tommy, it's time to take a look back at
the archives of your guys' lives.
In cleaning out my pantry the other day, I found a 1963 bottle of Grange. And I was telling you that I got given this 10 years ago. I did an on-air proposal for a guy. It was after the show with Hamish and Andy. It was like a mock newsread thing where we proposed to this guy's girlfriend for him. His name is Phil. Here's a little bit of how that went down.
And in some other news, new data from presumably single researchers has found that Australian men are going to more and more elaborate lengths to snare the woman of their dreams. In a bid to woo their potential brides-to-be, modern Casanovas are turning to everything from announcements at sporting events, makeshift road signs, and even celebrity endorsements. Now, Hamish and Andy, you guys have been looking into this bit?
We certainly have, Carrie. Thanks for bringing us on the show to the experts in this field.
It would be evident, Ham, that... for Phil, that Lucy's well out of his league.
True. He's begged us. He's told us how much you mean to him. He's promised to turn over a new leaf. Lucy, will you marry Phil?
Wow.
Wow.
It's pretty great, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's also really well written.
What do you mean?
Like, did he write the newsread and send it to you, or did he say, can you make something?
I can't remember whether I wrote that or not. I think it might have been me. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, he proposed to his girlfriend. They were lying in bed. Yep. She was watching what she thought was the project. This was her reaction.
Did you really get them to do this? Aww.
I've known for a long time, Brady. Will you marry me?
Yes, I'll marry you.
Thank Team Greek. You're the only one for me.
Oh. Can you turn the camera off?
Yes.
Cute. There we are, happily ever after. Now, the next week, I get sent this gift. I open it up, bottle of wine. I think, oh, that's so unnecessary, but so lovely.
Yes.
Put it on the desk and went about my week of work. Friday night drinks come round. We'd gone through all the alcohol on offer at the project.
Yeah. So you're sifting, rifling through.
So I'm looking around thinking what? And I said, hey, guys, I got a bottle of wine we can drink. And I went to pop it. And Charlie Pickering said, no, stop. And because, you know, I know nothing about wine. He's like, you can't pop that. That's a Grange. I'm like, yep, sure. And he said, that is worth a lot of money. And so I put it back on the desk. I took it home and it hasn't been seen since until I found it in the cupboard on the weekend.
We've just looked it up. It's 1963. It's worth $5,000.
Oh, my God.
And because I'm really worried about, I don't know much about wine either, but I know that such good wines are meant to be kept in cellars and
don't
not.
Have a cellar, mate.
Sure.
It's in the pantry next to the tiny tins.
I know, but also, like, you've brought it in and you're just shaking it around and stuff.
It's in a polystyrene box.
Yeah, that's where experts say you should keep it, actually. Sorry, you're right. I don't know why I'm getting involved.
Well, no,
chuck it
I
in
do
the back
want
of the camera
it to have value
in a
still,
polystyrene
though,
box.
Because Chris and I have decided that we want to sell it and give it to charity, but I didn't know it was worth $5,000.
Oh, yeah, you didn't want to give too much to charity.
No, more than what I thought it was worth. However, I was wondering, do you think I perhaps need to ask the person that gave it to me whether they're okay? Because it obviously meant something huge. I mean, it was the moment they proposed to their partner.
So I wouldn't, but you're a better person than me, so I think you should.
What if he says no?
Then you just say, okay, and sell it anyway on the side.
No, we're on air now. It's going to be weird if all of a sudden a 1963 bottle pops up on eBay.
I think, can we chat to him?
Yeah, we got his number. We can try him next.
Okay. Carrie and Tommy, the best bits.
You have just joined us. Carrie has found a 1963 bottle of Grange she was gifted 10 years ago by a lovely bloke who you did a favour for. His name is Phil, and for him you made a video that was proposing, asking his now wife to marry him. And to thank you and Hamish and Andy for doing that, he gave you what you thought was just a bottle of wine.
And it was a bottle of Grange Hermitage 1963.
It's worth about $5,000.
We've now just discovered it's worth $5,000.
And you want to sell it and give the money to charity, but you want to ask him first, is that okay?
Yes, because I think something that was such a big part of one of the greatest moments of your life, you may not want the person to then just gift it away.
Yeah, and you think he might prefer if you keep it in a polystyrene box in the pantry.
Next to the
rather
tiny
than
teddies.
Someone to really love what is an amazing bottle of wine. He joins us now. G'day, Phil.
How are you going?
Mate, we are great. Firstly, is the marriage still on?
Good question.
Oh, no, we got divorced.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm very sorry, but when your producer rang me before, I sort of made that joke, and she was so professional. She was like trying to play it off and go, oh, that's fine. And I was like, I'm really sorry, but I just couldn't resist doing that to you. So your producer's pretty amazing, I have to say.
She is amazing, but obviously not as amazing as your wife. So you've been married, what, 10 years now?
9 years. 9 years in about in about a few days, actually. So 3rd of March.
And Phil, this bottle of wine that you've given Carrie is a remarkable bottle of wine by anyone's standards. Were you surprised, even though she'd done something lovely for you, were you surprised when you didn't get a thank you back?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, the thank you was in the actual video itself, but I heard from, you know, sources that the one I gave Andy, he just drank accidentally one night with two random girls. So, two random girls.
What a lot.
Keeping it in next to the tiny teddies. That's much more preferable than just randomly drinking.
Well,
to
be honest, I almost drank it one Friday night with two random girls as well in the office at the project. So I think the problem is you gave something wonderful to people that didn't appreciate its worth.
Well, it's doing some good now. I think that's what matters ultimately.
I think the difference with your situation, because in Andy's situation, is with Andy's situation, the Grange would have been older than the girls.
Look, I think he just broke up with Megan Gale, so I think.
Okay. Andy's going to love all of this, so. I think.
Wouldn't it be weird if the girls were older than the Grange?
I hope he doesn't hear me saying this. I'm still very grateful for what those boys did, can I just say? So I apologise. I love you, Andy.
We've
really
got Andy on the line now.
Oh, my God.
No.
I've got to go. Oh, yeah, patience calling. Sorry, I've got to go.
We don't have Andy, but we do have the two girls.
Is it this a rude question? I think it might be a rude question. Is it rude to ask how much you paid for it at the time?
Yeah, that's a rude question.
Is it?
Yeah, but I'm interested in the answer, though.
No, I don't think that's rude. But if I'm 100% honest, I don't remember. I just think at the time, the gesture that you guys did, just out of the kindness, thanks to Rochford, like Andrew being such a kind guy asking you guys.
Yes, Dr. Andrew Rochford asked us.
I don't think in my mind there was a price tag. It was just, I have to get the best bottle of wine.
Okay, but
people,
here's the question. 10 years on, we've Googled it, and it's now worth $5,000. Has that gone up considerably from when you bought it?
Oh, yeah, but that's expected. It's like property buying wine, so it's not surprising, is it really? And it's an Australian classic, and I don't think there's anything better to give, you know, fellow Aussies than a nice bottle of red.
Do you know much about Grange? If I left it another 10 years, say, does it go on the nose, or is it then undrinkable, or is it just worth another five?
I think it depends on, I have to look up the rating, but yeah, I think the longer you leave certain wines, the higher their value is going to be. But at the same time, you don't want to be a hoarder your entire life and just keep something for the sake. If you want to do something good with it, then I think that should be applauded. So
would you be okay if I sold it and then gave the money to charity?
What will the tiny teddies do?
They'll be lonely, but
yeah. No, you know the answer to that. It'd be an honor for that wine to do some good in whatever capacity you wanted to. So
bloody hell, you're a good man.
Thank you, Phil.
No, I owe my entire life to this lady. I'm three kids.
I thought you meant Carrie.
I did too. I was like,
No.
Wow,
I'm
going to get emotional.
Carrie's responsible for me having.
See, did you say you've got three beautiful kids now?
Three kids, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's lovely.
Hey, do you want to? I mean, I know it's a lot of money, but someone could give their business a little plug if we want to throw our number out
you
now.
You think someone's going to pay money for that?
I think
online auction.
A lot of people listen around the country. There might be someone that goes, you know, I would kill for a bottle of.
And they can actually put it in their cellar rather than putting it next to the tiny teddies in the pantry.
If that happens to be you, give us a call, 131060.
Wow. It's a big ask.
Phil, thank you, mate. What a beautiful man you are.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Phil. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
So if you have just joined us, yes. I found in my pantry a bottle of 1963 Grange. Mm. I know nothing about wine, I'm ashamed to admit. I had no idea.
It was given gifted this, to you.
Yes, as a gift 10 years ago by someone and who I did an on-air proposal for at the project. And I had no idea that it was worth nearly $5,000.
Yes, and you have the great idea of because someone out there would absolutely love this wine, you thought you might sell it, donate the money to charity.
Yes.
And we just put it out there because we thought maybe this will need a bigger pitch and maybe we need to do a bigger kind of word out to give people a heads up.
No.
We've got John on the line. G'day, John.
How are you guys?
Mate, we're great. More importantly, how are you and how much do you love your wine?
Mate, I'm fine. I'm sitting in the car with my two young boys and we decided we'd want to just, we don't know nothing about wine, but we just want to help any charity out there to start off 2021.
Oh, that's awesome, John. Well, I haven't confirmed it, but I am thinking I would like to give it to a charity that I just learned about the other day, which is an Indigenous literacy charity. How would you feel about that?
That's fine. I've got some pushback from my 8-year-old because he wanted the money to go towards his fish tank. But
now, so I'm going to look into that. That's where I think I'm going to put the money.
Now, John, the kind of figure, the wine's worth about $5,000. How does that number sit with you?
Like I said, I don't know much about wine, but Grange, like you said earlier, is a good Australian wine. I'm sure it'll go quite well with a gift to one of my clients down the track at some point.
Ooh, see, re-gifted, the gift that keeps on giving.
This is great.
We'll see if we can continue the journey of the bottle.
That's fun. I like it.
Now, John, you're being incredibly generous, and we love that you've called, and thank you. Our phones are lighting up. Am I taking your current bid, John, at $5,000?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
If you can get more for it and they can continue, that's great. Great for anyone. I'm glad I started it off, though.
You are an incredibly generous man, John, and you are in the box seat at the moment. Okay. Is that, it
g'day,
says...
G'day, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, Mary. Mary, you've heard what is happening.
Yes.
Do you want to up the bid from $5,000?
Yes, I do.
And what would you like to up the bid to?
$7,000.
Whoa. Wow.
Mary.
What, Mary,
so
$7,000. What has made you want, are you into wine, Mary?
Not so much me, but my husband is, and he was born in that year of 1963.
Oh.
So it's going to be a surprise for him for his birthday. I'm getting in early, and because it's for charity, I thought, well, why not?
Oh,
good on
Mary,
you, Mary.
You're gorgeous.
We do have to do our due diligence here and just go back to John to give him a counter offer to see if he would like. John, you've heard Mary there chucking the $7,000. I'm asking out of politeness and nothing else. Would you like to up the bid for $7,000?
How could I go against Mary, honestly? Happy birthday to your husband.
Good on you, John. Mary, unless because you've got something else to say, I think it's probably...
Thank you is all I'd like to say, Mary. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Not a problem. You're very welcome.
Enjoy
you
it
have a wonderful
and enjoy the
day.
Birthday when it comes around.
I can come around and drink the drop with you if you want.
That's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. The best bits.
And on the phone now with us is the one and only Andy Lee. Welcome.
Hey, nice to be here, guys. God, I sit by the radio waiting for you guys.
It's really
and
weird.
It's lovely you're finally back on here.
Well, usually, we call our guests. It's more rare that they call in just on the hotline. But thank you for giving us a buzz on 131060, mate.
I thought you'd give me the direct number, but no, unfortunately not.
Hey, Andy, do you remember when the project first started 10 years ago, being involved in a bit of a mock-up on-air proposal for a guy called Phil?
No. Nah.
That's okay.
Well,
we suspect
it was memorable for Phil, but not so much for Andy.
No, we suspect.
Do you remember it, Carrie?
I mean, I do, but I'm a kind-hearted woman.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, I've got a black, black heart and ice water running through my veins, which is the problem for most things. So for Phil, okay.
No,
and,
okay.
And
so
are they still
to
together?
Be fair, okay, well, there's a lot to tell you about it. But first of all, we do have a little bit of it here to jog your memory. Right. This is back.
And in some other news, new data from presumably single researchers has found that Australian men are going to more and more elaborate lengths to snare the woman of their dreams. In a bid to woo their potential brides-to-be, modern Casanovas are turning to everything from announcements at sporting events, makeshift road signs, and even celebrity endorsements. Now, Hamish and Andy, you guys have been looking into this bit.
We certainly have, Carrie. Thanks for bringing us on the show to the experts in this field.
It would be evident, Ham, that for Phil, that Lucy's well out of his league.
True. He's begged us. He's told us how much you mean to him. He's promised to turn over a new leaf. Lucy, will you marry Phil?
Ringing any bells?
No, not a single bell. Not even a distant one.
Well, and it might help.
Haim would have no idea either, I think.
Don't try and drag someone else down in this as well. Well, it might help jog your memory to know the thank you that you were given. You were given a bottle of Grange, a 1963 bottle of Grange to say thank you. Does that jog your memory a bit?
But what, each?
Yes, each.
Oh, wow. Look, I'm not particularly into wine, but I do. This is, you know, tell you what jogs my memory about this, maybe, is I get sent wine all the time. I'm a Luddite. I just drink beer. Yeah. And so I don't really know what wine's good. And one day I'd had friends around and they said, oh, do you have any red wine? And I said, yeah, no problem. And I came up and I opened a bottle and I put it on the table. And they went, are you sure? And I said, yeah, what's the big deal? And they said, that's a really, really expensive bottle of wine. And I said, all right, I don't really know what it is. And they're like, well, you've got to have a taste of it. So no, I don't really drink wine. They're like, you must have a taste of it if we're drinking this. And so I had a sip and I was like, it would taste like wine. But that would have been around about 10 years ago.
Well, it's funny you say that because we had Phil on the other day and he remembers a slightly different version of events to you. If you stick around, we'll play you what Phil said next.
Stick around. We'll do that next for you. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
So we were just feeling Andy Lee in because we both helped a listener, Phil, propose to his wife 10 years ago on the project. And back then, Phil sent Andy an expensive bottle of wine of Grange as a lovely thank you. And Andy says he has a vague recollection of cracking his bottle open with some friends, I think,
some
Andy,
friends.
Was the term you used 10 years ago. I discovered the bottle of Grange that Phil had given me when I was cleaning out the pantry the other day. And we Googled it.
You love your present so much that it's in the deep of the pantry. It's behind a Sultana brand.
No, it wasn't polystyrene all covered up. But I don't drink. I'm not a wine expert either. And I had no idea. And then we Googled it. It was worth $5,000. So we then, because unlike you, I have a kind, lovely heart, and we auctioned it off on air and we sold it for $7,000 for charity.
Oh, my word.
Yes. But through all of this, we got Phil on. Yes. And we discussed with Phil about you receiving the bottle of Grange.
Should we ask, before we play this,
yes,
should we ask Ando just one final time,
okay,
if there's any more details about
when he drank that bottle
about
of
when
Grange.
He drank it? You said you had friends over. Is there anything you'd like to elaborate on?
No, I don't think so. I'm just walking down to my cellar right now, which is to see if it's actually in here still. But it's full of dust, and I have never really been in here. But yeah, no, there's no. Oh, there is a Grange.
Is there?
Oh, mate, have you got just another Grange?
Because this is what Phil thinks you did with your bottle of Grange.
Oh, no. I heard from, you know, sources that the one I gave Andy, he just drank accidentally one night with two random girls. So,
yeah, that's the dive. That's the dive. I went with two friends, but...
Phil went with two random girls. You chose the word two friends. You remember all of this, don't you?
I absolutely remember it. It was friends of mine, Biz and Penny, who came round, and they were the ones that asked for wine, and I had nothing in the house, and I just gave it to them, and they were in shock at the time. But yes, Phil, how the hell did Phil know that? Maybe I meant to mention it.
Mate, Phil's got eyes everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to tell Andy the next little bit you added on to that?
I wasn't. No.
You should. I think Andy'd appreciate it.
No, I think we can.
Andy,
I
would appreciate it, Tommy. Tommy had just a couple of extra thoughts to throw on at the end of Phil's comment. Yeah.
I think the difference with your situation, because in Andy's situation, is with Andy's situation, the Grange would have been older than the girls.
I think he just broke up with Megan Gale, so I think.
Okay. Andy's going to love all of this, I think.
Wow.
To be fair, yeah. Ando, it sounds like a shocking thing to say.
It was a shocking thing
but
to
no,
say.
But no, the Grange is 1963. So I know. So the women, to not be, like, okay. They would have to be 70.
I know, that's what I was about to do the math, going, you'd hope the Grange older than the girls. Yes. Otherwise, it was a 5 p.m. dinner and I had to get them back to the nursing home. It was lovely.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
On you, legends. Cheers, bye.
Carrie and Tommy, the best bits.
Because what do you know about Taco Airlines?
Taco Airlines? Yeah,
it sounds delicious.
Yeah, I know.
Is that made up?
No, Taco Airlines.
Taco Airlines, is it in Mexico?
No, it's a Sudanese airline. And they were forced to make an emergency landing. What do you reckon? What do you reckon got in the cockpit and forced them to make an emergency landing?
A jalapeno?
Got jalapeno business? Oh, that doesn't work.
This is Nacho Plane.
I'm trying to think of something with guacamole that's turning out to be tricky. Taco Airlines.
What happened? Plane when you avocado? No.
That's because you have a car, though. Yeah, and avocados in guacamole.
When you get off the plane, they say, "Where have you been?"
Yeah, that's good.
Oh,
that's good.
Funny. Where have you been? I think. Yeah.
And they say, "Can you Pinto the place we're going?"
No, it's Pinto.
Like Pinto beans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's anyway. Is that what they're called? Yeah. Sour cream.
Okay, let's just say things. Lettuce.
Lettuce on the
Lettuce
plane.
Take off.
Okay, this is getting corny. Thank you. Anyone else want to chip in?
Anyone else want to say something cheesy? Okay, so anyway, what happened in the pilot?
I'm done, mate.
What happened in the cockpit of...
let's stress once again. Taco Sudanese plane.
Taco Airlines.
On Taco Airline, in the cockpit, the
that
pilot,
doesn't win some award, that break, honestly.
What, worst radio of the year?
In the cockpit of the airline, there weren't snakes, because you're saying this is a sequel to snakes on planes. Something worse than that.
The pilot was attacked by none other than a stray cat.
Oh, what? Yes,
I know. And I know what you're thinking. I knew pilots got pussy, but this is ridiculous. They were 30 minutes into a trip from Khartoum to Doha. You know that classic route we all take all the time. And an aggressive cat.
From Khartoum on Taco Airlines. Yes. Sounds made up. An aggressive cat snuck on, yeah?
Yes, an aggressive cat, no, just appeared in the cockpit and attacked the pilot as the other crew struggled to catch it. The pilot then, was that just you, Jesse, or was that a sound effect? Yeah.
Usually the cat attacks on Tiger Airlines. Not a...
It's very good. It's very good, yeah, sorry. Everybody, at 6 p.m. each night, if we can walk out the front of our house and clap for that joke, please, that would be great. The pilot turned the plane around so the situation could be resolved. Guess what, Pickers?
What?
This is not the only cat-related airline feline incident. In 2012, a cat entered the cockpit of an Air Canada flight, and then they had to get all the passengers off and find it, because then it hid in amongst like the wiring inside the cockpit, and so they get the plane off.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and then
a cat.
Yeah, a cat, mate. Oh, no, you can't. Yeah, thank you, Jesse. In 2008, a cat escaped at Auckland Airport when it was going to be loaded onto an international flight, and it spent 2 months on the run. before it was caught.
Wow.
So I want to do a good old-fashioned bit of pussy chat. Give us a call, 13 10 60. What did your cat do that wasn't just usual cat stuff? What did it get up to? What cheeky cat stuff did it do? Oh, give us a call.
We'll take your calls next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy, the best bits.
Taco Airlines have had a stray cat attack a pilot, forcing the plane to turn around in Sudan. And I thought I was doing groundbreaking new radio where I was doing a segment called Pussy Chat, where you ring in and you tell us what your cat's been up to that aren't just the usual cat things. And then I realised we've done this before.
Tommy's cat chat, Tommy's cat chat. There are pussies he'd like to pat. He likes to stroke their whiskers and also feed them biscuits. Now it's time to start Tommy's cat chat.
Oh, I forgot how good that is.
I did not remember that. G'day, Julie.
Hello. Oh my God, I'm laughing listening to that.
Jules.
It was good radio. Did you hear our taco gear?
I didn't hear anything. I turned off the radio, but I was laughing listening to the cat noises in that song.
Jules, talk to us about your cat.
Well, so I work in an industrial area. This is a really long story cut short, but I took a stray cat home. I drove it home and I left and I had to go out for dinner. I had to go to the mother-in-law's. I was going to pick up KFC on the way. When I pulled in the driveway at the mother-in-law's, I heard this cat noise and I sort of joked to my then fiance, oh, there's the cat I took home, but it was underneath the bonnet of the car. It had been underneath the bonnet of the car for like 10Ks, stopped at lights, went through KFC. And I thought, I'm going to lift this bonnet and this cat's going to be have a leg chopped off or something. It was fine. Took it home. 2 days later, had a litter of kittens. And we had those kittens for like 15 years.
Are you saying the car somehow impregnated the cat?
I don't know. No, it was definitely pregnant before I picked it up. But unfortunately, the last cat died by the untimely of me running it over in the driveway.
Oh, my God, stop it.
I thought we got out of that one with all the cats being alive. And then right at the
last Julie, you poor pussy.
G'day, Sue.
Hi, how you going?
Good. Welcome to Cat Chat. What would you like to say?
We had a cat. My daughter had a cat.
Yeah.
And it ran away. She was very distressed. 8 months later, she rings me crying her eyes out going, Virgo's back. And I'm going, nah, couldn't be because we've already replaced that cat with five other cats. Five, because, you know, she felt so bad. I wanted to make her feel better.
So and you got her anyway, five cats?
Yeah, I'm a good mum like that.
Why did you settle on five? Was there a five for four special or something?
Oh, well, you know, I had one of my own. She got three more. Then the neighbours had kittens and, of course, they were really cute. And anywho, so I sent her down to the vet and said, go get that cat vet check because I'm pretty sure it's not ours. And, nope, it was ours. So now we have six cats.
And did your story end the way Julie's did?
Yes.
No, we've still got six cats.
Amazing.
Great. It's not allowed outside, obviously, in case it runs away ever again.
In case it encounters Julie. That's awesome, Sue. Great cat chat. Chris, great have you got chat. Better cat chat than Sue and Julie did? Nope, you don't.
Chris, is he there?
Hello.
Oh, g'day,
hey,
Chris.
Tommy, how are you?
Yeah, great, mate. Welcome to Cat Chat.
Thank you.
What have you
happy
got
to
for
be
us?
Here. My cat is a master thief.
A master thief?
Yeah. So usually he hunts leaves and brings them back as a trophy. But his favorite trophy is the neighbor's chocolate cake.
Oh, my God. The whole
cake? What do you mean? He brings back a plate.
Not quite a plate, but anything that he can get. He used to start off with stealing chocolate muffins that we would bake and leave on top of our oven. He would take the whole thing and, pull it apart. But now he's worked out the neighbours like to make chocolate cake and often pulls off a nice chunk and brings it back home and says, look, I've brought you a present.
That's better.
I mean,
my dog once came in and I was like, oh, my dog, gross, look, it's around its mouth, it's been eating chocolate cake. And then I got closer and I was like, oh, no, that's chocolate cake.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This
is Carrie and Tommy. The best bits.